Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we've been studying the ministries of the Holy Spirit as He works in the world and especially in the lives of believers. What a wonderful truth this is that God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us in our lives. In any area of our lives, we could not live our lives without His help. We Christians belong to the Lord Jesus, of course, and we're members of the family of God. And we're not just looking for heaven. That's what I want to emphasize. We're not just looking for heaven someday, but we're also depending in our daily lives, however young or old we might be, upon the enabling work of the Holy Spirit to move forward and to do the work of God and to live in this world. And again, I want to emphasize, if you feel weak, and if you feel helpless, and if you feel defeated, you need to go back again to the Word of God and learn from the Word of God how the Holy Spirit is in your life to help you with these very needs that you cause, that you feel cause you to be defeated and to be in total despair. And so we've considered a number of these ministries of the Holy Spirit. First of all, in the first half of this study, we studied the Holy Spirit from the standpoint of the various passages of Scripture which talk about Him. We looked at a number of passages from the Gospels and from the Epistles, and we tried to deal in a very general way with these passages of Scripture. We didn't try to delve deeply into any one of them, but rather we tried to deal with them in a very general way, looking to see what God is suggesting the ministries of the Holy Spirit could be in our lives. Now, in the last half of this study, now we're looking at some topical studies. In other words, there has been a need for us to look more deeply into a few of these ministries of the Holy Spirit. So I've chosen four different topics for this last half of this series of messages, topical studies on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. First of all, we talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving and using spiritual gifts in our individual walk in the world and in church life. And I emphasize the truth that there's been so much misunderstanding on the subject of spiritual gifts in our day. And it's very important, vitally important, in fact, that we as Christians go back and look again at the subject of the gifts. First of all, we look at the gifts which are no longer present, which were present in that day when they had no written New Testament, when the gospel was first being introduced. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 13, I pointed out, deals with the subject of gifts no longer present in the world. When the perfect, the Word of God, is come, now we no longer need these certain gifts. However, we also noted from four different sections of Scripture that the Holy Spirit is still giving other gifts to the people in the churches today, and that these gifts are for their edification, for their encouragement, for their uplifting, for their consolation, for their help, and for their unity. In other words, in the local churches today, each one has some kind of a gift which can be used for the glory of God. So we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. And then the second subject we came to was the ministry of the Holy Spirit in evangelism. We pointed out how the Holy Spirit prepares our lives, first of all, as those who carry the gospel, how He prepares our lives, how He uses our lives, how He guides and blesses us and empowers us to carry the gospel to others. And then we also turn to the unsaved, how the Holy Spirit works in their lives, how as hopeless, lost sinners, it would be impossible for them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ were it not for the help of the Holy Spirit in touching their lives, convicting them of sin, enlightening them with the truth, helping them come to the Lord Jesus, and so forth. We pointed out they still have responsibility before God. Their responsibilities go on. But in these responsibilities, they still have the need for the help of the Holy Spirit. If His work was not present on their lives, convicting them and preparing them for salvation and helping them come to a decision, they would never be saved. They would still simply be lost without any knowledge of the truth whatsoever. Now, in this third study we're doing, this topical study, we're studying the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our study, understanding, and application of the Word of God. And I want to spend a couple of messages, perhaps, on this subject of our of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this understanding and application of the Word of God. In the last message, I just barely began the side of it which has to do with God's part in giving us the Word of God, even before we come to how He enlightens us with the Word of God. First of all, we need to understand God's own part in giving us the Word of God. How wonderful it is that in the entire Scriptures, every part of those Scriptures belongs to God Himself and has come from God Himself. There is no contradiction. There is nothing lacking in this. Every need of my life, every question of my life can be met and can be answered as I look to the Word of God itself. And how wonderful it is that we have this inspired Word of God. And so as we approach God's Word, we need to approach it respectfully and extremely carefully. In other words, we never approach God's Word carelessly. We take it as the Word of God. It is a sacred Word of God. Every part of it is a Word of God. And therefore, when we come to it, we never joke about it. We never in any way look down upon it. We don't treat it carelessly. And we, even as we do it, we respect the very book it's written in. In other words, it's been published and so forth. We take care of our Bibles. We use them carefully. And we use them with others, in fact. And so this is very important in the way we approach His Word, as we accept the fact that God Himself is speaking to us when we read and meditate upon His Word, no matter what part of it we might choose to take. It is to be taken seriously, approached devoutly and carefully. Now, in these passages that we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and then we also looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 21. Now, we didn't delve into these passages deeply, but we simply noted that they talked about the fact that every part of the Scriptures is inspired by God. In other words, God used the Holy Spirit to inspire His Word. So this Word could not have been given if men had been writing it alone. Now, we know, of course, that God set down His Word through men, but these men were told exactly what to put down in the Word. The Holy Spirit Himself put the Word of God in their hearts and minds so that they recorded exactly what God wanted them to say without any error, without any contradiction between one part and another. Sometimes when people read and study the Word of God, they come to the conclusion that somehow there may be some contradictions there. There are no contradictions in the Word of God. The Word of God is perfect. We may not understand it correctly, but the Word of God itself is believable and dependable and is in no contradictions whatsoever. So whenever we come to something we feel is a contradiction, we need to go back and we need to be taught by the Holy Spirit how to correctly understand it. So no word, no conclusion or ideas of men are involved in the Scriptures. It was not what Paul thought, it's not what Peter thought or anyone else thought when the Scriptures were written. Rather, it was God telling them in their own hearts what they were to write down. This is called the inspiration of the Word of God. So it is all God's Word given by the Holy Spirit. So we can trust it. We can depend upon it. So the first word we need to clearly understand is this word, inspiration. The inspiration of the Scriptures. Now the second word, and this is the word that applies to our study of the Word of God, the second word that we need to understand is the word illumination. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives today. Now, I want to emphasize again, there will never be any new Word of God. There are no new revelations from God. If you hear someone on television or on the radio say that he's received some new revelation from God, he is a false teacher. He's not speaking the truth. Some of your cult groups today have been based upon new revelations supposedly given by God to the founder of that false cult. And these, of course, are entirely false. There are no new revelations. In the book of Revelation itself, the last chapter, there is a curse put upon those who would add to or take away from the Word of God which was given. In other words, this is the eternal Word. Some people in the cult groups felt, well, that was the old Word. And now we need some new revelation from God. And so God, they believe, gave to their founder that new revelation from himself. No, that's false teaching. God's word is already complete. From beginning to end, from Genesis to the book of Revelations, it is absolutely complete. There will never be anything added to it or taken away from it. So it is complete. Now the problem is not new revelations, but the illumination of the word. How can we understand God's word? And we want to look at this, and we're going to look at this a little bit carefully in the next couple of messages. Now we see, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16, he speaks of the fact that the unsaved man may approach the Word of God. He may own a copy of the Bible. He may have a copy in his home. Some of you may be in this very position. You have never really trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, but you may have a couple of copies of his Word in your home. The Word of God, in other words, you may have a couple of Bibles. You take them out from time to time. You may look into them from time to time. And then you discover that you really have no understanding of what you're reading, and so you put them aside. Your problem is that the Holy Spirit is not yet working in your lives to illuminate your hearts. The illuminating work of the Holy Spirit only comes when we have come into saving relationship with the Lord Jesus himself. In other words, the religious man, the man who may be depending upon the church or upon some form or ceremony he goes through in the church or upon someone else to whom he prays or whatever, this religious man may be approaching the Word of God still without understanding. Well, the reason is he's never come into saving relationship with the Lord Jesus. So the Holy Spirit does not indwell you until you have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. And then at that very moment, he comes to indwell you. So there can be no illuminating work of the Holy Spirit in the life of an unsaved person until that person has come to the Lord Jesus and is saved from his sins and now is in relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, belongs to the family of God. And so if you're seeking by any other person or by any other means to be saved from your sins, then you're still lost. No wonder you cannot understand the Word of God. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this man now is coming to the Word of God. He's trying to read it. He's trying to understand it. And he finds he has no understanding whatsoever. And the reason is because he's the natural man. He's the unsaved man. He never will have understanding of the Scriptures apart from saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6, 9, and 14, where it speaks of the unsaved man, the natural man, trying to understand. Now this man, again, may be a very brilliant person, and I want to talk about this in a moment. He may be the most intelligent person in the entire society as far as intelligence is concerned, but he still is not thinking and coming to God spiritually. He has no spiritual relationship there, and he's not coming to God spiritually. And so this book of 1 Corinthians was written in a day when brilliant philosophers and leaders were present in their society, and we have some in our society today. But no matter how intelligent they were or what claims they made for themselves, they could only understand worldly wisdom and had no ability whatsoever to understand anything beyond that. Any understanding in the spiritual realm was completely denied them. You see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now the same passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 2 reveals that the Christian has all of the truth in the spiritual realm. And this truth is completely opened up to him for his clear understanding and application by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now he's pointing out the difference. This is called the spiritual man. The man who has the Lord Jesus living in his heart, living in his life. He's been saved from his sins, and now he's been indwelt by the divine Holy Spirit. So again, I want to emphasize, this comes first of all through his saving relationship with the Lord Jesus, when he is made right with God and is born again by the Spirit. And you can see such passages as John chapter 3, verses 3 to 7, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and many, many other passages of Scripture. Now, this saving relationship with the Lord has also brought the indwelling Holy Spirit, and I want to emphasize this truth again and again. Every Christian has the indwelling Holy Spirit. After we are saved, we don't have to pray for Him. We don't have to beg for Him. That was only in the apostolic times, when the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, that they waited for the coming of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, for instance. It was only there that they waited for the coming of the Spirit. We see three occasions when three different people waited for the coming of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, when He first came, Acts chapter 10, when He came upon the Gentiles, and Acts chapter 19, when He came upon the followers of John the Baptist. But in no other case did the Holy Spirit ever come in that way. Now every believer has the Spirit of God in their lives. And you see this in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. This saving relationship has brought the indwelling Holy Spirit. I realize I've emphasized this a number of times, but I want you to believe this in your own hearts. I want you to see this clearly from the Scripture. And so the Holy Spirit potentially can give us everything we need in our lives. He is able to meet every possible need in our lives by His indwelling presence, and we could not do without Him as we live in this world. The more we depend upon His work, of this indwelling Holy Spirit, that is, the more we depend upon His work, then the more successful and the more victorious we will be in our Christian lives. I want to stop here for this message. I will be continuing this as we continue in the next message. But it's my prayer, and you might understand, that as you study the Word of God, now the Holy Spirit desires to do, by His indwelling, His illuminating work in your hearts, to help you to understand it, even in a very basic and a simple way, as the case might be, to understand it, and then to apply it to your lives, and to live by it. And may the Lord help you to depend upon Him as you read and study the Word of God.